On this week's episode of the Wealth Collective podcast, we take a look forward into 2023 and give some of our financial predictions for the year ahead. Thank you for all your listening throughout this year, and we hope you enjoy the last episode. Cheers.
Everything we talk about on today's podcast is general advice only because we don't know your individual personal situation. Before you act on anything we've spoken about, you should chat to your financial advisor, and if you don't have one, feel free to reach out to us. Now, on to today's show.
Hello and welcome back to the final episode of the Wealth Collective podcast for 2022. I'm joined by my co-host, as always, Zach Masters.
Hey, Pete. How are you?
Very good. I see you're in the festive spirit over there.
No, not really. Festive spirit. You got all your Christmas shopping done and everything? You're ready to go? Or?
Pretty good. So I've checked the list. I have checked it twice. I'm going to find out who's been naughty or nice. But yeah, everything's done. So very, very organized.
Wow.
So hopefully just sort of the preparation begins for having lunch at our place. So
you hosting?
I'm hosting. Got the
first
big
year or?
No, not first year. I've been there. Not a seasoned professional. Yeah. So a little bit nervous that the brisket might turn out dry. So
yeah.
Got a few backup plans.
Is
there
a turkey
the
in the smoker or what?
Do you realize where we live? We're in Australia.
Australia.
I guess brisket's not that Australian either. Nah. So maybe we might throw a few shrimp on the barbie.
Yeah. Okay?
I don't know how they'd go on a slow cooker or a smoker. So, yeah, but it has been quite the year. So 2022, not the year that I think most of us would have hoped from a investment perspective and personal wealth perspective. So how did you find 2022? How did it treat you?
It was an interesting year, wasn't it? I was talking to clients earlier today and just everyone felt like their world was just a little bit all over the shop with not only just investment markets, but you've got COVID up and around still, especially at the moment. You've gone from having 2 years of no social things to having a lot of social things all at once. I think everyone's feeling a little frazzled and looking forward to the end of this year.
Oh, the social animal that you are. You'd be loving life being back out and about.
I thought I would, but I think it's draining people a little bit more than expected.
Yeah, and I saw sort of overnight, we don't know what's going to happen for the last few trading days of the calendar year, but the S&P 500 poised to put in its worst performance since the GFC.
Yep.
So as we speak, negative 20.41% for 2022.
Ouch.
So if that doesn't sort of get your jingle bells ringing, I don't know what will. So he is hoping that 2023 will be a hell of a lot better than 2022 from an investment perspective.
Definitely.
But what we want to talk about is looking forward, what are some of our predictions for 2023 from a wealth and financial perspective. So do you want to kick us off, Zach?
Yeah. So my first prediction is I reckon there'll be a rate cut before the end of 2023. So there's a bit of a lag between the impacts being felt in family budgets and when increased rate hikes happen. So I think a lot of the economists are predicting that there's going to be another 0.5% hike potentially in early next year. But then there's talk of global recessions and different things like that. And I think the reason why the RBA is often looking to put these up and curb inflation, but it also allows them to have the lever to pull when they need to stimulate a little bit of growth, which I think will happen towards the end of next year. So I think inflation will start to come under control later in the year and we'll see tough going for households and the economy. So there's a lot of talk, as I said, around the global recessions. And that would likely mean that a rate cut towards the end of 2023. So that's one of my predictions.
It's bold. I think you get some good odds on that. And just to be clear, we're talking about rate cuts in what financial market?
Australia. So, yeah, the Australian rate cuts. I think the Fed could potentially look to cut rates towards the end of 2023 as well to stimulate growth. But I think there is potentially tough times ahead coming for both at home and abroad.
Yeah, well, we don't always agree on the Wealth Collective podcast, so I'll leave that one. That's Zach's prediction.
What have you got?
I'll not put that down to the house view. So I've got U.S. terminal rate to peak above 5%. So this is the Fed's cash rate to be above 5%. So a quote that sort of piqued my interest which happened sort of yesterday or the day before. So this is from New York Federal Bank President John Williams. The real issue is how we get it, meaning inflation, all the way down to 2%, not just get it down by a little. So they really want to step on the throat of this and stomp it. They don't want a repeat of what happened in the 70s where it got away from them. So what my thinking is the Fed's going to hike three more times, at least by 25 basis points each. So this could be like a, you know, all happening before June. So that's going to see us come in somewhere between 5.5%, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What it's saying is I think the Fed is saying contradictory to what you were saying earlier, Zach. So we're sort of, at least we're picking different markets. That the US economy, they're going to leave the US economy without any support next year. Mm-hmm. So they'll let it suffer, let it sort of die on the vine. And I think the odds are looking overwhelmingly in favor of a recession. We just hope it's a shallow one. So who knows? They may stick the landing. It's sort of trying to land a jumbo jet on a cricket pitch at the moment. But who knows? Miracles do happen. So yeah, that's what I'm predicting. No interest rate cuts in the US
yeah.
in 2023.
And rises early on.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a couple more rises to come. So it's very odd because you sort of, we're looking, the investment community is looking at the data and going, all right, things are slowing. Inflation, we feel like it's peaked. So then that's good news. So markets sort of had a mini rally. And then the Fed comes out with some bold statements and go, hang on a sec. No, we're looking at this a completely different way. And we really want this to stop completely in its tracks and get it right down, so not just slow. So yeah, they're really trying to avoid the risk that they, I guess, stop the hiking cycle too early.
Yep.
And repeat those mistakes of the 70s. So I think they're going to go potentially too hard.
Too hard. Yeah. Yeah. Won't result in them making a little clawback later in the year.
No, I don't think so. So we'll see.
The next one I've got that the prediction is that I think it's going to be another bad year for crypto. So crypto is obviously the main ones, had a really bad year this year, but I can see that getting worse, especially after the FTX collapse. I think public confidence is at an all-time low with crypto. There's going to be, there's currently dozens of proposed bills, acts and laws that have been put forward and debated about in the US Congress. Not to mention the efforts that have been put forward from the White House and the musings of the Securities and Exchange Commission. So there's going to be increased regulation, which like obviously people are probably looking for now after the FTX collapse, and you hear a little bit more about how that business was being run and just even the way they were running their books with very simple technology for a really multi-billion dollar business. Yeah, it's pretty insane to see how they got away with that for so long. So I think it's going to be another bad year for crypto just off the back of, yeah, really low public confidence and just waiting to see what increased regulation looks like in that space.
Right. I didn't even realize crypto was still a thing. I thought it was done.
You don't see anyone posting about it on Facebook anymore, do you?
No.
So. You know, 2 years ago, just every second post, every post on Instagram was how much money people were making.
Yeah.
Well, you don't see any of that anymore.
Well, it's volatile. Maybe, yeah, who knows? Sort of not an area I'm sort of an expert in, so I can't even add any value to that sort of contention, but I'd probably agree with your sentiment there. My prediction is travel, the reopening keeps building momentum and in a big way. So I guess what we're seeing from a data perspective, air traffic's come back much quicker than many would have expected. So I think I was thinking there would have been a bit of reluctance to hop in a plane and hop in a big tin can in the sky with recycled air.
There might be some reluctance to go on cruises at the moment.
Yeah, I've heard of people still wanting to go on cruises. So I haven't seen the data there.
Yeah.
So I think some of the airports are already back to 2019 levels, and this is in spite of rising sort of travel costs.
Yeah.
And, you know, rising travel costs, it's a combination of things. So it looks like it's fuel costs are a big one, but also staffing. You can't get enough staff on the ground. And anyone who's flown, our great airline Qantas recently sort of has attested to the fact that service levels may have dropped off. Shout out to the team at Qantas. So hopefully they can lift up their socks a bit. But yeah, people have been cooped up, locked down for a couple of years. So I'm thinking everyone's really keen to travel and throwing sort of caution to the wind a little bit. and getting out there. I know personally, I've booked my first international trip for 2023.
Yeah. Where are you off to?
Off to Hawaii.
Yeah.
So doing a family trip there. So we're braving that. So we'll see how the kids go on the the flight. So iPads will be charged. Lots of charging cables. Do not fail me now, iPad, is what I'm hoping for. So yeah, very excited for that. But it's taken me that long to hop on a plane. So I feel like that's sort of, I'm a good barometer for how the general population's feeling. So we're out and about with sort of global travel is on the menu for next year. So from an investment perspective, this one's an interesting one because you could look at it from your portfolio position to go, what areas does global travel touch? And it sort of touches a lot of different things, like, you know, airlines, so infrastructure, accommodation, luxury travel, technology, manufacturing, aircraft maintenance. There's a whole host of sort of different ways you could sort of play it. So, but one of the key ones that I'm watching very closely, and you'll know more about the brands that fall into this category than I do because I don't really shop at these places, but luxury goods.
Oh, yeah.
So counterintuitive. So it's sort of luxury goods tend to be quite resilient in recessions. Because that the brand name holds and means something. So I don't know about you, but there might be a little bit of growth in the luxury segment, which is sort of, so you could target that, like a Louis Vuitton perhaps, or what are the other?
A lot of them are bought out by LVMH at the moment. Yeah. So it's pretty much owned.
I think you were saying, yeah.
Yeah, so Balenciaga's owned by them. And
Gucci?
Gucci's under them. So, yeah, pretty much all of them, they've pretty much just keep buying out each luxury brand. They all fall under the one umbrella, which people might not be aware of either.
Yeah. So that one, they generally high positive correlation. And one of the interesting ones that I hadn't thought about before, but this got thrown to me in a sort of a research paper I read was, business travel generally means also sort of has a strong link to luxury goods as well as the guilt factor kicks in. So you're on a business trip.
Yeah.
So you might go, hang on, I might buy you a little gift to sort of apologize for my time away.
Or Versace or something along those lines.
Didn't realize there's a thing called guilt purchases. So there you go. So, and the good thing about guilt purchases is, you know, price is not really as big a focus. So it's really making sure you get the right one. So what that sort of allows for is good prices and good margins to be maintained. So watch this space. That's one I'm watching.
Very interesting. So have you got any predictions on what that'll mean for or what next year looks like from a market perspective or any learnings that you've got out of this year?
Well, I think the other, my big prediction is there'll be a lot of impatient investors. So I think emotions will get the better of a lot of people in 2023. So after you've been battered down over 12 months, I think you start to get to that point of, we use in our statement of advice documents and presentation packs, that sort of roller coaster of investor emotions.
Yeah.
I think we're somewhere in the point of capitulation where people get to the point of going, I don't know what to do. I almost give up.
Yeah.
And I think that's the time where this is where real long-term investors, not just speculators, can sort of profit and sort of make really, really good investment decisions by doing not a lot. So basically sitting tight, trusting in your investment strategy and not day trading. Because I think that's going to be the temptation. There's so much news out there. There's so much commentary saying you need to do something. So it sort of creates this anxiety, this feeling like, I need to do something. I need to be trading. I need to be, I'm sort of contributing to that. I need to be in luxury goods or Bitcoin's going down. So what's the alternative of that?
Yeah.
But I think a lot of the time, the best strategy is to sort of sit tight and do nothing. I do feel like next year will be the year where maybe we start to see the cracks appear. And none of our listeners will be doing that, of course. But if you can pass that message on when you're having a chat to people over your Christmas barbecue lunch, that would be good. Get the message out there. Sit tight. Trust in the plan.
Yeah. And have you got any learnings? What's your biggest learning out of this year?
I think my biggest learning would be always remember this too shall pass. I was watching this clip from Tom Hanks. He's a very funny man. And he's just like, whenever you're feeling good, just remember this too will pass. And same thing when you're feeling bad. and you feel like it's all going terribly, remember, this too will pass. And I think that's sort of pretty sage advice in general terms for going, that euphoria we experienced last year of going, oh, great, this is, everything's ticking along nicely. We're nearly through the thick of it. Well, that passed. But on the flip side of that, when you look at the negative times, we know, like, history is a really good indicator and a guide that these periods, whether we go into recession, whether inflation hasn't peaked yet, it will pass. So at some point we go through cycles. Yes, this has been a really challenging year. And as you know, a lot of us have taken a fair dent in our total wealth over this period, both in property prices, you know, our bank accounts are lower because
savings are harder.
Yeah, savings have been hit. Investment balances are lower. Super's lower. So I think, yeah, that is the thing to go. History will sort of serve us well, I think, and show that this will pass and there'll be sort of good returns around the corner. And it happens pretty swiftly. So I think you need to be patient, stay disciplined, go back to your plan and sort of stick to your knitting. So that's there's a lot of cliches in there, but it's very important through these periods. So that, I think that's my biggest learning. What do you got as a – what's your key takeout from 2022? Because it's pretty – it's one for the history books.
Yeah, so I think the biggest learning I've had is to never overextend yourself, and that flexibility – we often preach this all the time, can be your best friend. So if you'd have gone, you know, at the start of or the end of last year and got off the back of the RBA's preaching that there's going to be no interest rate hikes and different things like that, and borrowed to your maximum, like absolute maximum, then you'd be feeling a bit of hurt now. So those people that kind
unless
of take
you locked in a five-year fixed rate, you've probably feeling pretty good about it.
But a lot of people that took on or overextended, or a lot of the time you go to the bank will go, yeah, you can get this much, and they'll go to the absolute maximum of their borrowing power and go like, oh, and nothing's going to change. There's always something around the corner that you mightn't necessarily be aware of. So
that's probably the one certainty. Something always changes.
So having that flexibility in the plan to deal with certain things popping up, and stress testing the planet in under different scenarios, I think, is something that I've learnt, that you see the importance, where in the past 7 or so years, it's been, you know, pretty smooth sailing. You haven't had to worry too much.
The past 4 decades, yeah, we haven't experienced that. And sort of, I'm nearly 4 decades old.
Yeah.
But not quite. I think, it does hit home. I think that's a very sage point because... yeah, who knows what's around the corner? But I think the uncertainty is the norm, and I think you got to sort of plan for worst case scenario, and yeah, overextending yourself. But hey, I think around the corner there might be some really awesome opportunities. So don't be too scared to not take opportunity as well. So yeah, for all the listeners out there, it's been a pleasure sharing our insights and having a digital one-way conversation with you. We have enjoyed the feedback and commentary that we get from time to time, even when it's
send more of it through,
even when it's giving us some feedback on ways we could improve. It's all appreciated. So for you, our listeners, thank you for 2022, and look forward to doing it all again in 2023.
See you next year.
See you later.